Hello, Friartown, and welcome to another edition of Friar Pod. I'm Chris Torello, and joined tonight, as always, by the Friartown Mayor, Danny McNamara. How we doing, Danny?
I'm good, Chris. How are you? Trying to stay warm. You know, just watching a little college basketball now, getting excited for this weekend, hockey game, basketball game. It should be a lot of fun.
In the words of Archer, I did not ask for your life story. And Daniel James, the Warrior Friar, how are you?
Good.
Very good. That's the simple answer I'm looking for. Friar fans, a lot has been happening. The Friars 2-3 over their last five Big East games, and with a pair of road games and home games coming up, we have a lot to get to. But first, we quickly recap this 2-3 since our last Friar podcast. So, Danny McNamara, I want to start with you. How do you think the team's been playing overall, despite the fact that we're 2-3?
I think overall the team has been kind of playing to its competition. Not to say that's a bad thing, but it's just been ever since the last 10 minutes of the Georgetown game where we were starting to pick up full court press, it just got really like not sloppy, but a little crazy. And that kind of worked out to our benefit towards the end of that game. And obviously the Villanova game, the entire game was just like a rugby game out there. And then the Pitt game was tough. I mean, Pitt obviously is a much bigger team than we are. And I think we did a good job on the boards. I think rebounding, offensive rebounding especially, has really helped us the last few games to stay in it and win the game. I just think – and they're getting good looks. I mean, against Pitt – we got some solid looks. I know Hinton had a few times that he could have hit a three that would have brought the game even closer. But even against Nova, when the first half we were losing, I felt we were getting a lot better shot selection than they were. So that gives credit to our defense, which has been solid the past two games, considering, I mean, I can't remember the last time we gave up 66, 68 points to Villanova and Pittsburgh back-to-back games. I know that's one thing Cooley's preached is the defensive effort, and I think he's getting that. But on offense, it's just about making shots and getting good looks, which I think they're getting. And you can kind of see that over the past few games, Council has kind of picked up a step. I know he was a little out of control in the Nova game, but I think he played okay against Pitt. His defense, obviously, still needs a lot to work on. Woodall got the best of him a few times. And obviously having done sick the last game didn't help much because he really made things difficult for Nova in the second half on defense. I know he kind of took their freshman point guard kind of out of the game towards the end of the second half with his defense and that big dunk at the end of the game to kind of put the exclamation point on top. But I think overall, I think it's kind of a breath of fresh air to say we're playing good defense, we're playing gritty basketball, the technical fouls just are not what you want, but it shows that the team, they're fighting out there and they're into the games and they don't want to lose, which is a good thing.
Yeah, they seem to be definitely putting together better play all around. Danny James, your thoughts?
I think that the team is starting to turn a corner, and I say that with reservation, knowing that we've all believed this before and been a little overly optimistic on where this team has been headed, but I really think that it's not so much a change just in how they're playing, but how they're approaching the game. I mean, you see them toughening it out a little bit more, and they're just, their whole mentality has been different, I've noticed, and they're not just, you know, they're relentless, and I think it's showing more obviously within the defense because, you know, you see how just vicious they can be, and it's like watching Rottweilers fight at times, and it's good. I like it, and I think that that's going to eventually transition into the wins and the quality team that we've been looking for, and I think these past five games have been reflective of that, but I think we still have a long way to go.
Yeah, and one thing that I think is, I remember I was texting you two, I can't remember what game, I think it was the Villanova game, actually, and I said to you guys, I said, you know what, for some reason I feel really good where we are at the half, And yep. and I haven't felt this way in a long time where I feel like, you know what, we're just going to come back and win this game. I mm-hmm. just know we're going to win this game. Like, and I think that's the way other teams, maybe some more, shall we say, albeit top-tier Big East teams have felt with their fan base for a long time. I just think, and Danny, you and I said it sitting together at the Pittsburgh game, this is a second-half team. And for so long, and even back to the Keno Davis era, you know, you'd have a team hang with Syracuse in the first half. You know, you'd have them go 44-40 or 40 or 50-46, and then they'd go into the locker room. Syracuse would make their adjustments. We would go cold. We'd lose by 20, and no one remembers, you know, that we, you know, because that second half that we played well in the first. And the thing that I truly believe is this team, like Danny said, is turning a corner. And the thing is I believe we are a second half team. If we can keep it within 6 or 7 points. At, you know, at maximum being down at the half, I think we have a shot to win every single game. But I would like to see us play from ahead a little bit more. I love the way we played down at Seton Hall for the first maybe 11, 12 minutes, and then kind of slowly but surely Seton Hall went on their run. Then we got ahead. We kind of kept it in control throughout the second half. But I think we are a second-half team. And, you know, that just goes to the fact that this team is playing so much harder than last year. It's buying in so much more with Ed Cooley. And, you know, but I, one thing I will say in reservation, I think no matter what side of the ball, whether we're on the half-court defense or the half-court offense, whichever is in front of Ed Cooley, that's when we play our best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's still a problem, I feel. But, you know, that's something you're going to have to work through. I think Vincent Council is still trying to create his own plays. Maybe that's leaving Siddiqui Johnson in the dark still, but he seems to be playing a little bit better. I think overall this team is fighting harder than it's ever fought in the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, we're turning a corner. How quickly do we turn the corner? That's another question.
Yeah, and I think I know there's been, I mean, just amongst my roommates who go to all the games with me, one of them said, I think it was during the Nova game, he looked at me and he was like, do you think having Council out there right now is a bad thing for this team? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, well, he just looks like he's playing selfishly. And then I tried to look more last game about that and see that. And he did hit a number of shots in the lane, but like you were saying, Council's kind of taking things into his own hands, and that's kind of leaving out things for Siddiqui. But I think with what you said about Vince still being a step slower, I guess you can kind of say that, but at the same time, he was supposed to be, I think, just around like people I've been talking to, my friends, my roommates, they're all kind of upset with his place thus far. And I know there was, I forget the kid's name, but I think he graduated in your guys' year a few years ago. He was sitting in the student section during the Nova game, and he would boo every time Council came on the floor just because the turnovers and the selfish play that he seemed to have. So I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on Vince's role so far, like the last few games with his team.
Terrell, you want to take this one first?
I mean, whatever, Danny. I mean, I'll just say this. Vincent Council was injured against NJIT in the opening minutes, and we all thought our season was over. And the fact is we found a guy in Bryce Cotton who, without him, I don't know where we are. The kid is averaging almost 37 minutes per game in the Big East play. That's second only to Eric Atkins, who was right at 37 minutes per play. Right behind Bryce Cotton, ranked third in the Big East in minutes played per game at 36.5 minutes, is LaDonte Henton. So we have the guys around us, but the problem is a Vincent Council allows these other guys to maybe catch a breather when we need them to, allows them to do things that they're more accustomed to doing. And that's why I think more so Vincent Council coming back. He's up to 10 points, I think, per game. That's incredible from where he was.
Score right here. He was at 11 against Pitt.
But I'm saying his overall total, he's averaging about 9, 10 points per game. That's incredible.
10, 6.
He's playing really well, and I just think that because he's back, you're going to see Bryce Cotton, who's leading the Big East in three-point field goals made. You know, you have guys being able to do what they're more accustomed to doing. You see LaDante taking more of those three-point shots because Council and him have a better bond than anyone else. I believe that truly. I saw it in practice earlier in the season, you know, before he got hurt. I think, honestly, Vincent Council is overall good. Does he do a few things wrong? Absolutely. But show me a point guard who doesn't do something wrong every game. Be very rare.
That's a pretty good point.
Thank you.
Here's my thoughts on Council in terms of his selfishness. He's been selfish for a while now. Let me rephrase that. He started off playing for us very selfishly, and it was evident in games all the way up until last year, when you look at a game like Nova, where you have a hot hand in Henton, who just is unstoppable on offense in the first half, and then Council doesn't give him any looks in the second half. And it's like, well, Council, what the hell is that? That's not an Ed Cooley move, because maybe it is. I mean, I can't say for certain, but I would think that Ed Cooley would want Henton to continue to score at the efficiency that Henton was scoring at while they were on the road at Nova. And, you know, Henton just couldn't get a look from Council, and Council's done that on a number of occasions. And this year, obviously, he's just coming back off an injury, so he's been playing limited minutes. He hasn't really looked like himself. He's still been getting the assists. His shot has been looking a little off, though. And it's weird to say that someone who can lead the Big East in assists can be selfish, but I think that he is a selfish player at times. And I'm looking at the play-by-play for Nova, and this is, you know, something that stuck out in my head. We were kind of teetering back and forth with them. We were tying, and then they would go by up mm-hmm. by three. We'd go up by a couple, go back and forth. And it wasn't until it looks like, what is it, the 2.5 minute mark left in the game, when Vincent Council fouled out, we were up by four, and from there we went on a run that ended up us going up by eight. And that was when Dunn was leading the point, or Cotton mm-hmm. was helping out at the point, and Council was just sitting there watching. And it was just kind of interesting to see how this team was playing, where it was just kind of combating back and forth with Nova, to once Dunn goes on the bench, to suddenly now we're going all over the place, and we're, you know, we're up, and we almost have a double-digit lead to close out the game. So I don't know if that has any correlation, if Council sitting on the bench has something to do with us suddenly going on that run, or if that was just pure coincidence. But I do think that Council's default mode is to be selfish, and I think that that can affect games. And if you look at a game like Nova, where Dunn is more likely to be selfish because it's a close game and he's not as likely to trust someone with his team, because it is more or less Council's team. He's the only senior on the roster this year. He's been here for 4 years. He's not going to be as trusting to, you know, someone or like a freshman in Dunn, or a someone who hasn't played the point a whole lot, like in Bryce Cotton, to see that and then have him go on the bench and then us go on the run. I don't know. I mean, I might be it might be like an episode of The X-Files where I'm just trying to make connections that just aren't there.
Yeah, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. And I got this question that I wanted to ask you. Someone was like, do you think Council is trying to do what Marshawn did his senior year, where he just took over? And I was like, it's not that type of player.
I agree with that, Dan. I was just about to bring that up. I definitely think there is a little bit of the shadowing of Marshawn almost, and what he tried to do, and saying, I'm the senior, I'm the leader, I have to get mine. I do think Vincent Council is an outside shot at a second round pick. But I will say this. I think what bigger shots kept us in that game against Pittsburgh?
His shots.
But his in the lane, his runners, everything. He is showing that he can be a dynamic guard from the point position. But I think we're all going to agree is he needs to He needs to find the players a little bit more. I think he wants to find Bryce Cotton. I think he wants to find LaDante Henton. Lord almighty, Josh Fortune. Someone explain to me why he's on the floor for that long and only has 3 points and only takes 3 shots. I mean, yeah. You have to find the kid. You have to let him shoot. You have to work the ball into Kadeem. You know, you have to be the anchor. You have to be at the top. And you need to be willing to, turn left and right and say, okay, let's do this, let's do that. And everyone has to be on the same page. I don't know if I can still – I kind of want to blame Council, but I also want to say that Council is the reason we've stayed in some of these games because he does know the flow of the game. When we get in the fast break, he's terrific. He knows how to find guys. So, I mean, it is what it is.
It's a give and take, and that's what you get with a senior. I mean, you got a senior who's talented and who knows the game – and who, when his head is on right, can help everyone else on the floor be better. But then when he kind of gets a little nervous and the other team goes on a run, he'll fall into a default mode of, you know, maybe playing a little more selfishly and not distributing the ball well or hanging on
Slack
to the
off
ball.
On defense.
Yep.
Oh, defense. I mean, Ed Cooley even said it. I mean, the defense needs to be improved drastically. But, you know, I will say this, and I know we're going to get into I know we'll probably get into the roster a little bit more, but I mean, I know people have been saying that LaDante Henton is kind of not the same LaDante Henton, which I'm sure we all agree with. But this guy is third overall in rebounds in the Big East. He is currently fourth in terms of total offensive rebounds and offensive rebound average per game. And he currently is ranked sixth in terms of defensive rebound average in the Big East. But he is pulling down the third most total defensive rebounds. I mean, a guy who we all think should be more of a three and might be getting outplayed at the four is doing all of this. He's our best rebounder, according to statistics. So I just think he spent too much time down low this year, and you're going to see Council try and kind of wean him off of that. And you're going to see him make some of the threes that he missed against Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
and that's where Council's going to, I think, kind of fall back into being that the distributor more. So,
with that in mind, let's take a look at the upcoming four. We're heading down to Wisconsin this Saturday to play at Marquette University, another member of the Catholic Seven, and then we come home for the annual beatdown of UConn that Thursday, and then we hit the road for a rematch with Nova, and then we come back home to take on Cincinnati. So, how are we feeling about these four?
Well, Chris, you can start off.
we're just gonna skip over Marquette. We're gonna stay home, and we're just gonna just stay warm, and we're gonna count it as a loss, and we're gonna get ready for UConn. So I'm just gonna forget the Marquette game's ever happening, and it's the Morgantown of the Big East right now. You cannot win there. It is very, very hard to win there. I'm just going to say I think we're going to beat UConn. I really think that's a personal goal for Ed Cooley and Andre Lafleur. I think it's a personal goal for Vincent Council. Senior guards have done very well from Providence to go to UConn, to come here. We just know how to beat UConn. And then Villanova, that's a tough place to play, and I think the memories of last year's game will be there. I expect us to win up there. Cincinnati's a different beast, but if we have the momentum of UConn and Villanova, I expect us 3-1 out of these four games.
Like what you said, playing at Marquette, I mean, one of the only schools I would probably not want to play at right now is Hinkle Fieldhouse besides there. I think going into Marquette, obviously a very tough game. They're 4-1 in conference. Obviously, just like what you said, just trying to stay close through this one, and hopefully a flurry of threes just come through in the second half. And I mean, you never know, but it's definitely going to be a challenge for the team, especially to travel out there. And then coming back, I think the UConn game is going to be very interesting. I know. Obviously, you said Council wants to win, but I think it's a big game for Chris Dunn as well. I think by that game, he'll be close to himself how he was in high school. Obviously, probably one of the most highly touted high school players to come out of Connecticut in recent years. and then playing against that guard-heavy team, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I mean, UConn has, with Napier and Boatwright and Calhoun now, going against Council, Dunn, and Cotton. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So that should be a – that's going to be a lot of fun. I think one thing that we have to kind of – I mean, I was hoping is that to keep our – all throughout these games, to keep our emotions in check. I know. Last game, obviously the Dunn technical, the Council technical, but Kadeem was talking a lot last game. I mean, he was getting urged on by some of the Pitt players down low, but he was close to. I was a little worried about he was going to get teed up as well. I mean, I think keeping your emotions in check during these games, especially the UConn game, where it's just going to be crazy. But yeah, I think that's obviously a very winnable game, and one that I think if we want to really kind of, like you said, turn the corner, winning a game like that at home is something that we kind of need to do. Just to kind of show that, hey, we're not just gonna go out there and get beat by these teams that are unranked Big East teams, but top of the league teams that we're playing at home. And then,
well, Danny, I got to disagree with you a little bit there, and I don't mean to be rude. I know UConn got three national championships, and I've had my rant, but I'll say this. You want to turn a corner, you beat Marquette on the road. You want to turn a corner, you beat Cincinnati when they come in your building. You want to turn a corner, you right the wrong of a year ago against Villanova at Villanova when you blew that lead. UConn, we've had their number. And I think a lot of Providence fans are going into that game with more confidence than any other game on the schedule. So you want to turn a corner, surprise me with wins at Marquette, surprise me by doing well against Nova and Cincy like I think we can. I think Connecticut's the easiest game we have in the next four games.
Yeah, very fair. I was just being cautiously optimistic.
but I do, and we're gonna get the fans out to that game. We just will. But I will say this. Chris Dunn, you're right. The Hartford Current's going to be there. The New London Day is going to be there. If they can get if he has a big game, the story isn't about UConn. It's about him. And that's what Connecticut papers will run the next day. So, yeah. Danny James?
My thoughts on the upcoming four?
I think we'll go 2-2, by the way. Like you
two
did your
2-2?
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think we win at Marquette. I think that's a given. They are the Morgantown of of the new Big East. And
they can read, though.
You know what, though? I don't like calling them the Morgantown because their fans are just, like, infinitely better than West Virginia ever was. Like,
oh, I didn't mean in that sense. It's such a hard place to win.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I just, like, I almost feel bad, putting Marquette fans in the same on any level, like, because they're just like, they're so much better. I'm doing an interview with Anonymous Eagle, the Marquette blogger. He's kind of the Marquette equivalent of Friar blog, so look for that on his website on Friday. And he'll be doing an interview with me on Friar blog, so check that as a shameless plug. But I don't think we win at Marquette. I think if we can keep it under 30, it will be improvement. And that's not to knock our team at all. That's just to say that they play us so fucking well whenever we play them there that, you know, keeping it under 30 would be pretty good, in my opinion.
This could be the game where Kadeem Batts gets the technical.
Yeah.
I think so. We all know that we have a history of awkward things happening. For example, Jeff Xavier, right?
John Xavier.
Is that what is that? John Xavier coming out on the court calling a timeout. Yeah. And then the most dangerous elbow in the Big East, Jermaine Peterson, takes another victim when we head down to Marquette that next year and gets ejected from the game. So
yeah, I think Devontae Gardner is going to be an extremely tough matchup for Kadeem. I mean, he's a tough matchup for pretty much every big man I've seen him play this year just because he's just so large and he's just so crafty around the rim.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, too, that you say that because that was my next point. I was going to say that if we're going to win this game, we need our big men to play well. But it's not like a Marquette team, really, in years past where they're so guard-reliant. They're so, you know, now it's like they play the guard game that they've always played, but now they have a front-court option, too. It's scary.
Yeah, but you know what, Danny? I think the fact is what happens when we play a team like a Marquette on the road, they just get hot from three. It just seems to happen. This is one of those games I see that our three-point defense kind of take a hit. But if we really want to make turn the corner, as we keep saying in this podcast, we need to be able to match the threes. We need Bryce Cotton to go and make his threes. We need Fortune to become that dead eye that we know he can be. Yeah. We need LaDante Henton to make some threes. So I'm not worried so much about the front court, because I actually think Siddiqui and Kadeem, though tough matchups, I think the two of them can hold their own. And, you know, you just got to play physical, play fair, but play physical. Yeah. And on top of that, you have to have your guards match the guard play. If you do that, it'll be a game.
Yeah, agreed.
Easier said than done. It's frickin' Wisconsin, and it's 5 degrees below zero there. So
At least. But moving on, I think that after we come back, we play UConn, and, you know, the UConn fans, they're going to get up for that. It's going to be a game, and UConn is going to be excited to be playing Providence because they're about to transition into a conference, UConn is, where they're not going to be playing teams of our quality anymore, so they're going to try to make the most out of it. And, you know, they're really going to make this into their Super Bowl because they're not going to be used to playing teams as good as us. Because a lot of
UConn fans are Patriots fans. That's why they're gonna make
it. I think it's the opposite. I think a lot of UConn fans are Giants fans. I don't know. Maybe I don't have.
No.
I think Pats fans.
Yeah.
Stars is right by the border. What are you talking about, Tom Brady?
All right, we're not getting into this. I don't want to talk about that game. Fuck you guys. This is the PC Basketball Podcast, not the Let's Sell Shit on the Patriots podcast. I think we can win at Nova. I think it's going to be tough, but I think we can do it. Let's also keep in mind that the Nova team we just beat played like absolute shit against us and then went back home and beat Louisville. So I don't think that's going to be an easy win. I think it's going to be a win we can attain, though. And we just need to match their level of competitiveness and, you know, do our game and play how we play. Versus Cincinnati, I'll be honest, I don't know all that much about Cincy this year. I believe they're still ranked, right? Yes?
Yeah,
21st. I think we can beat them. Honestly, I think that might be where our top 25 win comes from. But I don't know a whole lot about them this year. I haven't really been paying attention just because I've kind of stopped caring about the football schools, as awful that is to admit. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit about Cincy. But I think we can beat them. I do. I think we can go 3-1. I would be happy with 2-2.
Very good. Sounds good to me, boys.
We got a couple of Twitter questions. People want to know. Matthew.
Have a tweet. Don't cost nothing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, man. That was so much fun. We gotta go sneak courtside more often. Matt LeBeau 15 wants to know. He wants to hear a few words about the starting lineup scenarios for next season.
I'll just say this. Let me tell you this. The first name that better come out of all of our mouths better be Bryce Cotton. Simple as that.
Can I say my second name?
What's your
Ricky Lito.
Ricky Lito, number two. Obviously, I think Kadeem has a good chance, very good chance to start again.
If he's here, yeah.
If he's here. I think, obviously, Henton also has a very good chance to start again.
I personally think Carson DeRozier is the one sitting out, and Ricky Lito, those are the two of the three that are sitting out right now that I see starting next year. Yeah. From what I've seen in practice, from the type of leader that Carson DeRozier is, from the type of player that he is, the type of player Ricky Lito is. True. All right, fine. I'll give you my starting five.
Yeah, starting five. Go ahead.
Chris Dunn,
mm-hmm.
Bryce Cotton,
yep.
Ricky Lito, LaDante Henton, Carson DeRozier.
All right. Danny Mack, your starting five?
Chris Dunn, Cotton, Ricky. I would go with Kadeem and Carson.
All right.
So it's just Henton that we're disagreeing on. Okay.
Yeah. I think Henton coming off the bench would be obviously something you would have to
talk to him about.
Talk to him about, first of all, and explore the option of in the non-conference and see how that goes. I think he can be the type of player that comes off the bench and can make an impact on a game. But I think going with, I mean, the lineup that I gave, it's pretty good size. I mean, Ricky's like 6'6" and a half. Kadeem 6'9", and obviously Carson 7 foot. So that's some pretty good size, which we usually don't have in the last few years. We haven't really had that. But I think it also, obviously, like you said, if Kadeem is back next year. But I also think I don't think Tyler Harris is going to start. I think Brandon Austin coming off the bench could also be he'd probably be the second guy, I'd say, that comes off the bench behind Henton and then Harris.
All right. I got Brandon Austin, Brandon Austin.
Black
Brandon
Jesus.
Austin, Brandon Austin, Brandon Austin. He's going to start all five positions. No, I have no idea. I think
Ricky Lito and Bryce Collingworth will be starting.
I know Ricky Lito will be starting. I know Carson DeRozers will be starting. And beyond that, you know, probably Bryce Cotton. I want to believe that he'll be starting, but I don't know. There's just so much friggin' talent in the backcourt next year that I can't make a decision.
He'll be a senior. He starts. He's played his ass off.
You don't have to convince me, man. Convince Cooley. Tell him that. I don't know. I'm not.
I don't have
coach.
To. I have to. I feel like I have to convince. I think I have to convince a few fans. It begins and ends just like there are some very smart people on Scout, and they have said it true to their word. It begins and ends with Bryce Cotton being the first person out of our mouths.
Yeah. I agree that Bryce Cotton will be starting. I think that I think it all really depends on what the matchup is, what Cooley wants to play, and who's doing what in practice. I mean, you know, we see players who are getting more minutes because they're just doing more in practice, and that's just how Cooley coaches.
Listen. Ricky Lito's starting.
Ricky Lito's fucking starting, dude.
That's it. No, I'm just saying. As long as I see number one on the program and number one in your hearts, as long as he's out on that floor, I do not care who the other four people are with him.
I think if we saw Jeff Xavier's brother coming on the court for reasons, if Ricky's not starting, we're having half the dunk on the floor.
Man. Hold on, though. Going to my point, because you're saying Ricky Lito's definitely going to start. Chris, tell him how Ricky Lito is in practice. Preach to him.
Ricky Lito, I have to be honest with you. He might be the most first off, he's one of the most talented players I've ever seen on a basketball court. Secondly, he is without a doubt the most vocal in practice in terms of wanting to understand Ed Cooley's scheme. In terms of understanding what he needs to do, not only to be a scout player to make his guards around him better, who will be playing in the next game and the next game, but someone who can take that scheme as a scout player and make himself better within the scheme of Ed Cooley. You know what I'm saying? So it's like if you're a high school football team, your defense is run the same as the defense you're playing. So you just know you're going to give the same look. That's kind of what I'm saying with Ricky Lito. He's able to kind of say when he's on defense or offense, okay, coach, should I be doing it like this? Okay, how are we going to do this next year? I actually heard him say that to Ed Cooley. How are we doing this next year?
To kind of move away from Ricky and go back to Bryce, I think, like we were saying,
when we move away from Ricky Lito.
Okay, real fast. To get your thoughts, I think that, like you were saying, how he'd obviously have to talk to Henton about not starting. I think Bryce Cotton is the type of kid that would
talk to Henton. I'm not talking to Henton. I'm good. He's in my starting five.
I'm just saying, I think Cotton is more the type of person to accept coming off the bench and to really succeed and thrive in that role.
Well, I mean, let's face it. We have a chance. I mean, Fortune, who started most of the season, we're saying he's going to be on the bench. You're saying that Penton's going to be on the bench. He's been starting for the past 2 years, what it'll be at the end of this year. I mean, a major shakeup is happening next year here in Friartown. But I mean, this team has proven that there are pieces to the puzzle that can only help next year's team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very good thing. And I'm sorry, but I thought we played some of our best defense with Tet Bancroft on the floor the other night. So
White Lightning, baby.
I wrote that in the Friar blog post.
White Lightning.
And I did not see that, so I just want to let you know that I was just saying that off my own opinion. So.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely true. That kid is just like, he's not great in a lot of areas, but, man, does that kid give it his all on defense.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. All right, we got another question. We gotta move on.
send them tweets.
Yes, I'm sending them tweets. I'm tweeting my ass off. We got one from the Cooley World Order. Represent.
CWO, come to the student section. CWO, next game, dude.
I actually told him because he's not a student.
The 6-year-olds that stay in the student section.
Yeah, he's gonna be able. He's a great kid. I love that kid.
And Danny, when you're done, I have one from Ronaldo Tuasasopo, so we can maybe get to his question.
It's Renai.
Whatever the hell his name is.
Who? Who's
Tuasasopo? Manti Te'o's boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever he is.
Yeah, that poor kid. I want that MTV reality show to happen so badly. That show with him and his made up girl. I want to see that. Or like a made for TV movie on Lifetime.
Get to the question.
Hentonwood Hogan predicts the Batsman, which is awesome. / Showtime Dunn holds Gardner and Blue under 14 on Saturday. Your thoughts?
Total or
I didn't specify. Just
total. Move. There's no way. Total.
Yeah.
I think out of those two matchups, I think Bats has the much tougher one. I think Duncan will hold his own against Vander Blue. I think Dunn is actually one of the best on-ball defenders we have. Just how raw he is and what he's able to do.
Yeah, it might just be a matter of if we can keep him on the floor long enough. Just been a little weird the way that I think Cooley was using him and Fortune interchangeably the other night. But anyways, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that they get to over 14 points, whether it be 15 or 50. I'm just saying. So.
All right.
It's a league game, Smokey.
Yeah, man. I want to believe that they can, but I don't think they do.
All righty.
I think more points will come from Gardner.
Yeah. I think Gardner's going to be the bigger impact player. I think that they could limit Blue alone to under 14. I think Gardner. I keep saying Gardner because it was a company.
Just call him Devontae.
Yeah. I think that if he does get over 14, I think we can limit him to under 20. I think we can do that. I think that's much more realistic.
I think another tough matchup is Council on Cadugan. I mean, that's just going to scare me. But
I actually think they might put Dunn on him just because Dunn is such a when he can play at full strength, he is a defensive monster. So I think they're going to put Dunn on him rather than Council. Maybe not. I don't know. Was that stupid? Should I not have said that?
Cadugan's he's kind of built like a LeVant Fields kind of from Pitt, like a few years back.
Yeah.
Kind of that bigger guard type. I don't think they'd put Dunn on him unless they really needed to. But I think Dunn will be a lot on Vander Blue. And I don't know. I think hopefully Calvin can hold his own. I like the name Vander Blue. That's one of the coolest names in the league, I think.
Sounds like something out of a National Lampoon movie.
Vander Blue.
Maybe it's just because I'm thinking of what was the one with Will Ferrell? You know, and Luke Wilson, where they started fraternity.
Old school.
Yeah, you're my boy, Blue.
Oh yeah, Blue, the old guy.
Yeah, maybe. I think another
guy that Dunn's gonna probably play a lot on is Todd Mayo, OJ Mayo's brother.
Ooh yeah.
He's
I didn't even think of that when I said the Dunn thing.
He's got some skills if he can keep his head and his act together, but
we're gonna have to be aggressive on defense. We're actively aggressive and this is a team that can expose us on the backside or weak side of the defense, so we just have to be careful. That's all I'm going to say.
Word. All right, and with that, we move on from that to what will be the aborted fetus of the Big East next year, because let's face it, that's what it is at this point, and the roster lineup. So, boys, a lot of talk about the fact that we're probably going to be sticking around for a year, maybe mainly from John Rook, but I think a Jersey guy has been talking about that too, and how we're going to be there for another year and then we're going to move on. So what do you guys think? You think we're going to be in this this Frankenstein of a conference for a year and then move on, or you think we're just going to get out?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Who's even in the conference?
This conference realignment stuff.
Houston, UCF, Memphis is coming in for basketball. That's a positive. You're still going to have Rutgers in Louisville. You're still going to have UConn. You're still going to have Cincinnati. You're going to have a football conference with it. So all this is doing, and maybe in the spirit of Catholic Seven, it's compassion. And the fact that we will give – I mean, this is a lot of – I think John Rook said it nicely. It probably has to do more than anything with a lot of just how do we split up the funds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. That's fine. I have no issue with that if that's what the case is. However, why are we showing any bit of – any? Why are we going in any direction that basically helps these other Big East – members who have shown no interest in helping us? The UConns, the Cincinnatis, USF, who I feel bad for. But they did not say, let's help out Little Providence. Let's help out Marquette. They didn't say, let's try and do something that keeps us all together for one more year. They desperately need this one more year. They're losing the name. They're losing the outright what's going to happen. You're going to be in a conference, okay, with schools from every time zone. That's not attractive. You're going to go play at fucking Tulane.
Yeah, did you see there also, I don't know if this was legitimate or not, I saw it on a Jersey guy. He said that they were talking about maybe adding Tulsa. I didn't even know that was a school. Like, that's
did
the,
you just call them Tulsa?
Yeah, I did, because
I thought you were talking about Tulane. That was my guess.
No, they already added Tulane.
I have no
Yeah, this podcast is going great. This episode is just fucking gold, right here, boys.
Lights are on and nobody's home, boys.
On that note, Friartown, the mayor is out. You gotta go watch the Celtics in the next.
Yeah, you're leaving us, you son of a bitch.
Dude, this whole conference realignment stuff, it's literally like trying to name every single person that I have no idea where I'm going with this.
Funny you say that, because neither does the Big East commissioner. He has no idea where he's going with this either.
He's probably watching the Celtics game too.
Let me just make this final point, and then we can call it a wrap, and God bless the Friars.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would love for Ricky Lito, for Chris Dunn, for Brandon Austin to get another shot at UConn next year. I would love to get UConn one more time. I would love to get Louisville one more time and end it the right way, because next year's team is going to be very special. Keep our eyes on this year, but the problem is when news barks about next year, you can't help but say, I wouldn't mind one more run at these guys.
Yeah.
So if it happens, it happens. You're bringing in Memphis, which is without doubt the only talent that's coming into this conference next year. That's great. And it stinks that we can't have a Memphis enter into this new league that we love, but they have football, and that's fine. It sucks that UConn can't come because of their basketball tradition. It sucks that we can't get these schools, but you know what? It's not our fault. They chose to go their way, and so be it. So if we have to go one more year, we go one more year.
As long as the roster that we have is intact, I'm good.
And hey, we may be going out the way we came in, top of the league.
Fuck yeah. We actually didn't win a single game the first year we started the Big East, so... So there's
mirror,
that.
Mirror records, Daniel. Mirror records.
All right.
All right, boys.
Well, boys, it's been fun. Thank you for listening to our train wreck of a podcast. Keep an eye out on Friar Blog for the Nova game, where we'll be live. We'll be live blogging throughout the weekend while we journey to Philly and get drunk off Yingling. So
keep tweeting the Warrior Friar questions.
Keep sending us questions, because apparently it's like just goes off in tangents that we can't even.
I would actually like. I'm gonna put it up on Twitter, and I would like you two to both retweet it for me, and I'd love an answer. We are going to Nova. Should we or shouldn't we make a Catholic 7 sign to show support with Villanova while we go there?
Yes
or no answers only. Put them up, send them, retweet them to Warrior Friar, Friar Town Mayor, and at Chris Torello 11. He's Danny James. He's Danny McNamara. I'm Chris Torello. Go Friars, fire up chips. This has been Friar Pod.
We out.